What's going on, Suns fans? Justin here, and with me, as always, is my podcasting partner, Paul.
If you're gonna spew, spew in this.
Party on, Paul. Ha, I love that.
Party on.
And we are here with the first edition in quite a while of Bright Side of the Suns for the fans, by the fans podcast. Paul, what's been going on for the past, I don't know, 2.5 months? Anything exciting?
We can't have nice things.
We cannot have nice things. Let's open up a old wound really quickly here.
Rip that Band-Aid off.
2.5 week old wound, but Suns with the second best odds of getting the number one pick got the fourth.
Somebody had to fall. Somebody always gets kicked out of the top three.
And somebody had to fall twice, apparently. Only one team, though, and that was us.
Yeah.
But you know what? Is that the end of it all?
No.
No. Does it really matter in the end?
No.
Probably not. And we're going to tell you exactly why it most likely does not matter in the end. And you might believe us, you might not.
We might be idiots, we might be geniuses.
I would assume a combination of both.
Yeah. Brilliant idiots.
But brilliant idiots. I like that. One thing I can say for certain is that the lottery's rigged. I'm sorry, it's rigged. 100% rigged.
I can't say that.
That's because you...
I just said we can't have nice
idiot
things.
Part. Idiot.
We just can't have nice
totally
things.
Rigged, dude. You really don't think it's rigged.
Climate change doesn't exist.
Completely unrelated.
Conspiracy theories.
You really don't think the lottery's rigged? You think it's legit. 100% legit.
I think, yeah. Because I think there's enough...
Your hesitation... proves that you're long.
I don't think I can't say anything for 100% certainty.
So it's rigged.
My understanding of the process is that every team has a representative in the room literally watching the damn machine with the balls kicking around, spitting them up like it's their.
So you're saying that it's beyond contemplation that the machine can be rigged?
No.
So
I think the odds of it are extremely slim.
Why?
Because there's too much money involved. For the other owners to be like, oh yeah, I'm gonna let the league dictate that this team is gonna get.
There's too much money involved for the league to not want the teams that they want to have the highest picks get the highest picks.
The league doesn't own the teams; the owners own the league.
Yeah, so but the teams other 29... dictate how much money the league ultimately makes.
Yeah, but why would Robert Sarver be like, yeah, I'm going to let my team fall in the lottery because the Lakers need to have a better pick, because if the Lakers have a better pick...
You're assuming that the owners are in on it. I'm saying
the
that
owners
it's rigged.
Own the league.
The league rigs it. So you're saying that Adam Silver couldn't... Hold on.
I'm saying Adam Silver has 30 bosses.
I don't want to be rude to Adam Silver. David Stern, who still is running this league. I'm sorry, he is. You're saying that he has no control over how the lottery goes down. He would not be able to rig it because he has 30 bosses.
I'm not saying he would not be able to rig it, but I'm saying that if the owners found out he rigged it, he would be let go.
Oh, after he made millions and millions of dollars, I'm pretty sure he'd be fine. So you're saying that you can't tell me for certain that the lottery's not rigged, which means you agree with me. Yes.
No.
Yeah, it's rigged. It's fine. Paul, just admit it.
No.
Why do you love David Stern so much?
I don't love David Stern, but I do like Adam Silver.
Oh my God, why do you love him
so
much?
I like the bald head. I want to rub it.
No, I meant David Stern.
No.
You love him.
No.
Oh. Suns fans, let it be known, Paul is a closet and now outed David Stern lover.
And
moving on. So, but maybe it's not rigged because perhaps they did the Suns a favor.
We're definitely out, or I wouldn't say definitely, but we don't have to worry about the Lonzo Ball situation.
First of all, I don't think we ever had to worry about a Lonzo Ball situation. But
if we had the number two pick, we would.
Let's segue into what we actually want to talk about. And I'm sure we'll talk about the alleged Lonzo Ball situation. Who are the Suns going to get it for, Paul?
Who do I want them to get, or who do I think they're going to get? Because we can't have nice things.
Who are the Suns going to get at 4? Paul.
Josh Jackson. Who do we want the Suns to take when they were going to get at 2?
Who do you want the Suns to get, Paul?
Josh Jackson.
So we can have nice things then, apparently.
Well, because I say all of that with the expectation that something is going to go sideways and wrong.
Basically,
and
Josh Jackson's going to go number one. I'll be like, oh, no.
Just because we can't have nice things.
Or can we? So, okay. So, Josh Jackson.
Yeah.
Why do you want Josh Jackson?
Because he fills a glaring need on the Suns team. We have, I mean, really, probably the biggest need we have on the team is front court. Honestly, we need a center. Just because Len's probably going to be gone. Tyson's aging out of
the NBA. We need a center because Len's going to be gone. That's.
But I'm saying Len's going to be gone. The position's there. We need the center, a real center.
If Len was still there, we'd still need a center.
Yeah.
Okay. Just making sure we're on the same
right.
page.
Right. We need a center, period. But this, in the range we're picking, this, there aren't really centers in this draft. And maybe in one of our second round picks, we'll get a gem. But right now, there aren't centers that are really players in that are projected to be in the range that we're picking.
Yeah.
And but the other hole we have is really on that wing spot, that small forward spot. And this is no knock on TJ Warren. I almost call him TJ Ford.
It's also not a knock on TJ Ford.
Not a knock on TJ Ford
either. For
the record. I'm happy he's still able to walk.
Okay.
You don't remember when he like broke his neck?
Move on.
But TJ Warren will be great. Honestly, he'll probably be great off the bench for us.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be probably a great starter on another team. But pairing Booker and Warren on the wing, their flaws overlap, which just compounds that. So there, we don't have wing defense, which is what Josh Jackson can provide. And we don't really have wing athleticism, because both those guys are kind of below the basket players. You know, Booker can dunk, Warren can dunk, but they're not dunkers. They're not athletic guys who can get up there, overpower a guy to get a dunk in traffic. They get dunk opportunity dunks. They're not laterally athletic from a defensive standpoint. Both are getting better with time, but they're more – if they improve on defense, it's going to be because of scheme more so than athleticism. Josh Jackson is naturally athletic and – has the physical tools to potentially be an elite defender in the league.
But Paul, everyone says that Josh Jackson can't shoot.
I don't care. Whether he can't shoot, but he can jump out the gym.
But can he not shoot?
I don't know. I mean, his...
You told me before we started recording that he cannot shoot.
I told you that is what the... When they're putting checking boxes of his strengths and his weaknesses, is one of his weaknesses is his shot. Whether that'll prove true in the long run is a different story. He did shoot rather well from three this past season. So that is hopeful, but the mechanics aren't the greatest. Granted, neither were Sean Marion's, and he was perfect.
Neither are Lonzo Ball's.
Yeah. And
here's – okay. I'm sorry. I need to interject because I don't get the whole Josh Jackson can't shoot thing. His shot is an issue. He shot 38% from three-point range this season. He shot 49%, I believe, over the second half of the season. I just don't get where the guy can't, like, where the conclusion gets laid that he cannot shoot. Mechanics, okay, fine. Mechanics can be wonky, and they are wonky, but the ball goes down. Who cares? Like you said, Sean Marion's, I would imagine that all these people out there being like Josh Jackson can't shoot would be like Sean Marion, be like, you know, undrafted free agent coming out of UNLV there because he can't shoot either because look at those mechanics. Like, that's ridiculous. It makes zero sense.
Well, I mean, we're in that period of leading up to the draft where we're really at that paralysis by analysis standpoint where it's like we have a season worth of guys. Josh Jackson has been projected as the number three pick since the season started. It's been Fultz, Ball, Josh Jackson the whole time. Nobody really came out of nowhere and like jumped into that. De'Aaron Fox has kind of made a little bit of a run because of what he did in the tournament, but he never really cracked past top three, but he made it into the conversation for top five. He was like second half of the top 10 prior to the lottery. I think Monk was higher than him, and now Fox has jumped him. But, like, the story's not – there's no story to say, oh, yeah, this is what this guy's great at. The story at this point is, like, why should this guy be better? Why should we pick this guy over this guy? So you have to start picking out weaknesses. And people start dissecting these guys and saying, oh, yeah, that 38% over the course of the season, that was fake because of X, Y, and Z. And I read that article and I thought it was a piece of crap. But – like I said, it's paralysis by analysis. The only guy who nobody's saying anything about is Fultz. He's like, nobody's really like tried to like poo poo his game. Nobody's trying to say Ball should go number one because Ball doesn't want to go number one. So that's not a story, but.
Which brings up two questions. One, what article said that about Josh Jackson?
I saw it on Twitter. It was some blog.
Ugh.
It was.
Blogs. The worst.
I know. Except for Brightside.
The best. Second of all, should there be any concern that no one's paying attention to the faults of Markel Fultz? Is he maybe not that demigod that everyone's making him out to be?
We'll see. But it is kind of weird that nobody's even... Maybe it's just because I'm not... The Suns aren't in the running to get him because they fell to four. So
perhaps
those articles of here's what's wrong with Fultz, maybe we don't want him, aren't really coming across my plate. Or maybe.
I watched him throw up a stinker of first half against ASU, your grad school alma mater, at least.
Whatever you want to call it.
Oh well, yeah. And then go like. Balls to the wall crazy in the second half, and Everyone talked about the great second half, but nobody talked about the bad first half.
Yeah.
What if Markel Fultz is not like the Miami Heat really season? That great of a board? Yeah, maybe. Maybe like Miami or like, I don't know, LeBron in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean,
so far. No, I'm kidding. LeBron's actually been fine.
It didn't hurt Ben Simmons' stock that he kind of, you know, he played
right,
for
but at least some people kind of mentioned it.
Right.
It was mentioned.
It was mentioned.
But
I don't know. It is kind of weird to me that kind of maybe...
Fultz is going to pass.
Yeah, he's going to pass. I really...
You hear it first here, folks. Fultz, bust. Right? Is that what we're saying? Bust.
Big time bust.
Bust.
Go ahead and take him, Boston.
Yes, suckers. Okay.
Trade him to the Lakers.
So here's another thing that's come up with the Lakers. I saw an article not more than 2 days ago saying that the Lakers have finally scheduled a workout with Lonzo Ball. And rumor has it that if Ball does not, quote unquote, blow them away in said workout, they're going to take Josh Jackson. Do you think there's any, I don't think there is, but is there any way that's possible? I feel it's no way.
I would like. It would suck as a Suns fan because I don't want Ball, and I kind of the kid seems like he's a good guy, and
he
I don't know how much of it
way less psychotic than the rest of his family. Who, by the way, apparently his little brother is actually really terrible at basketball.
Terrible! Wow! Terrible!
Good job, he's UCLA. Terrible. Good offer there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, they had to do it to get Lonzo.
Yeah.
But
that got them far this year.
I honestly, the comedy of LeVar, if the Lakers pass on Lonzo, is kind of enticing to see his reaction in that green room when Adam Silver walks up and goes, and the Los Angeles Lakers select Josh Jackson.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
For an entertainment standpoint, I get that. 5 minutes, and then the news cycle of the next 5 days.
Let's focus on what's important to us as we sit here today. What does that do to the Suns then?
It opens up
a lot of options. I don't think the Sixers are taking a. Well, I guess Josh Jackson.
Actually,
I was saying. Then so perhaps the Sixers take Ball. That means the Suns get Isaac or Tatum.
Yeah. I'm hoping they don't get enamored with Tatum. I'm not.
Oh, please, Paul.
I'm just. Tatum's a juiced up version of TJ Warren. If I don't even know if he's a juiced up version of TJ Warren. TJ Warren might be just as good.
He's just like a higher pedigreed version of TJ Warren.
Yeah, he's TJ Warren if TJ Warren went to Duke.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, he went to a school with a name. So he gets more recognition.
I think that I would venture to go out on a limb and I'm not going to say I want the Suns to take Jason Tatum, but I think he's probably more than a juiced up version of TJ Warren. Because TJ Warren was also, how many years did he play at NC State? Is that where
NC State. Yeah, oh, yeah. He
nailed it.
Come on. I mean, he went to the same school as Phillip Rivers. You got to know that, man.
That's why I went with NC State.
Yeah.
But he played 3 years or did he go four? Yeah.
I don't know if he went off four, but he definitely was not.
So, I mean, like, Tatum's still 19 years old, and he's putting up similar stats in the same conference, yada, yada, yada.
Right, but I mean, similar to TJ, like, he's kind of a one-dimensional scorer, like, didn't really show too much on the defensive end, his game is more of a mid-range inside game. Not that it doesn't really stretch out to the three-point line, which... Suns need that just because the way NBA is going, you need that 3-point shooting.
So basically, I feel like we've established that if the Lakers were to actually take Josh Jackson, it could like ruin everyone's life in Phoenix.
It could really throw off a lot of people in the draft. Period.
Well, I guess here's the question then:
so it's a huge domino.
Yeah, but let's be honest; they're not going to do that. Because the Lakers are the Lakers, and they're
Magic Johnson's Magic Johnson.
Exactly. He's already showed his hand like 87 times. They're going to take Lonzo Ball. And then maybe they'll have the first, jersey sponsorship with Big Baller Brand on it. Jesus, that's so ridiculous.
You mean the Kobe 9s with a really bad logo attached to them?
Right, yeah, exactly. Like, and then they're going to get sued by fucking Nike. And excuse me, language, but... Yeah. Anywho.
Yeah.
So let's think here.
Okay. But let's. Okay. So.
I ran out of thoughts right there in case nobody noticed out there.
Assuming the Lakers take Ball, what if the Sixers take Jackson? Because the mock drafts that came out after the draft, like. The Sixers were almost the best case scenario for the Suns if they were to fall, just because they've been drafting front court guys for the last 4 years, and they're so stacked with front court guys. They traded Nerlens Noel, who is probably going to get a max offer this year, for what was it, a late first round pick?
Something.
Nothing. They traded him for nothing because they had no leverage because they have all these front court guys. Why are they going to draft another front court guy, especially a guy who people say has a broken shot, when they have players like Ben Simmons who people say has a broken shot? And he's supposed to be like a focal point, and there's just too much overlap there of players. And I know... when you're drafting that high in the draft, you really shouldn't worry about drafting for need, but you should be drafting best player available. which, and you just figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
But even still,
are you basically asking me if the Suns should take a point guard?
I'm saying the Suns still have a good shot at Jackson because a lot of people are projecting that the Sixers aren't going to take him because the flaws that he has matches up with a lot of the flaws the players they already have on their draft. The flaws in quotes.
Quote-unquote flaws. Quote-unquote
flaws match up with the quote-unquote flaws of the players they already have.
No, those are realistic. Those are real flaws. So well, quote-unquote flaws match up with the real flaws.
With the real broken shot of Ben Simmons.
So, well, I mean, ultimately, even if the Lakers were to take Jackson, you'd probably think that the Sixers would take Ball then, right? So either way, either of those scenarios means the Suns are sitting there with neither Fultz, nor Ball, nor Jackson on the board when they pick.
So you're saying, so you're curious as to Isaac or Tatum. Yes.
I'm not saying, or you're the one that asked the question.
Or Darren Fox.
Right. So you're saying, who do the Suns take at that point?
Yeah.
That is a terrifying question. I hate that question because I don't know.
Yeah.
I think if you want to take a known commodity and know what you're going to get, you take Jason Tatum. I think if you want to pick who I think might be, outside of Jackson, I really think Jackson might end up being the best player out of this draft. You hear it here first, folks.
That's not first. I've seen that already, but
yeah, you've seen it, but you just heard it. Different.
I read it.
Yes, totally different. But
I've not heard it verbalized.
If the Suns were in that position and they took Jonathan Isaac, I would not be upset. Because he has maybe the highest likelihood of being a bust, but also might have the highest potential ceiling.
He's got the highest ceiling but the lowest floor.
Yeah. Well said, Paul. Way to make up for that last thing you just did there.
You're welcome. Yeah. You're welcome.
I didn't say thank you, but go on.
I wouldn't hate that pick.
But you love De'Aaron Fox.
I do like De'Aaron Fox. Yes.
De'Aaron Fox
is a domino piece that I only like if they already get Jackson.
What?
Hold on.
So you only like De'Aaron Fox if the Suns also get Jackson.
Right.
So if De'Aaron Fox were to fall to like the 34th pick, you'd be down.
No. I'm saying if the Suns get Jackson, I would be open to
a trade.
Considering trading Bledsoe for like the 5th or 6th pick.
Who has 5 and 6?
Sacramento has 5. And who has 6? I can't remember who has 6.
Quick, explain why Sacramento would take that trade while I'm looking up who has 6.
Because, like the Suns, Sacramento has a bunch of young guys, but they also are in, I would argue, a much more chaotic situation of those young guys, particularly following the Marcus Cousins trade that just kind of threw the whole team out of whack. Whereas the Suns have had a season of kind of developing structure. So you take Eric Bledsoe.
Orlando.
Again, another.
We should probably stop talking about this now because I feel like Orlando would be way more likely to do it. But go on. I'm still listening because I feel like there's no way Sacramento does that.
But Orlando's another great option for a lot of the same reasons. The Suns have some structure. They have a star in the making in Booker, and they have other high potential pieces in Bender and Chris, if they drafted Jackson. So you've got 2, 3, 4, 5, potentially 2, 3, 4, 5, filled in with guys who are all on the same timetable to grow and build with the team, and their skills all complement each other. And though Bledsoe's skills do fit in that mold, the timetable is a little off, because by the time but those guys all get to that point that they are legitimately considering to be contenders, which is the 23-24 range. Bledsoe's already going to be in the 32-33 range, which is going to be on the downside of his prime. He's not going to be that effective.
But he's not expected at that point to be the focal point of the offense, so that actually might work out well.
That might work out well. But you bring in a De'Aaron Fox whose skill set is similar to Bledsoe's in that he's a slasher, he's a defender, he doesn't have injury history. You pair him next, you take De'Aaron Fox, Devin Booker, Josh Jackson. You got defender slasher, you got who's also a distributor, you got a shooter who's also shown post-up skills, also shown distribution skills, ability to run the offense if he needs to, secondary creator. You also have Josh Jackson, who athletic freak, potential elite defender, shooter.
Can also post up. Didn't do it much, but when he did it very efficiently.
Is also a great passer for his position.
Fantastic facilitator for his position.
Marquise Chris, who is almost the odd man out in this situation because he's not a great passer, but can catch anything.
Doesn't need to be.
He just needs to run to the rim, and you have four guys who can throw it to him. And then you have Bender, who is hopefully next generation's Andre Kirilenko.
AK-47?
So if you think about that roster, it just on paper, it fits. Which is why I've become so enamored with the idea of it. Is it fits age-wise, it fits skill-wise, it fits athleticism-wise.
I just feel like if Sacramento is in a similar situation to the Suns, why would they want Bledsoe when the Suns are like, we don't want him anymore?
Because
they're crazy, and they already made a terrible trade in the last year. So why not try it again?
One. Two, the Suns still have those vets in place in the Jared Dudleys.
I still like the idea of Sacramento just being psycho. That's probably the more likely
result. More likely one. But my point I was trying to get to is the Suns still have the Tyson Chandler. They still have the Jared Dudley. But if they pick up the option, Leandro Barbosa, they still have those vets that can keep all these young guys in line. Sacramento doesn't have vets, and the few vets they do are just as crazy as the owners. Like Aaron Aflalo, who we'd probably have to take on to get a pick, but we can just cut him. they don't have solid leaders to help guide those young guys to kind of turn them into a team. And I feel like Bledsoe would be a good guy to go up there and kind of take on that role. I think he would fit well with what the coach is trying to construct up there.
Here's a crazy question.
And here's a crazy answer.
This is going on to like a, well, same topic, but different area of said topic. What if the Suns could make a trade to, say, the latter part of the lottery?
Trade like down?
The 10 to 13 area. We keep the four.
Keep four.
But instead of trading an Eric Bledsoe for the 5 or 6,
we have the opportunity
to trade, maybe not even trade TJ Warren, but trade, I don't know.
Brandon Knight?
Oh, God, yes. if we get a lottery pick. You know what? No, let's call it. I'm just coming up with this on the fly here. What if we trade our first round draft pick next year, and then latest Miami one we have, right?
2021.
To get.
Would you put protections?
10 to 13 this year.
What kind?
Jesus Christ, Paul. I don't know. Yeah. Top 5 protected.
Okay.
And then we look at, I don't know, Zach Collins. What do you think about Zach Collins? And I know whatever you're going to say is going to be wrong because you don't like him. I can tell already.
No, honestly, to be honest, I don't know enough about Zach Collins to give a legitimate opinion.
I have never said anything good about anything that has ever come out of Gonzaga. I said Adam Morrison was going to be a bust. I was so wrong. Oh, wait, no, I was totally right on that.
Dan Dicko.
Dan Dicko. Dude, he got dropped like late first round. He's gone. But I really think that Zach Collins is going to be a solid NBA center. The Suns could somehow get into that late lottery and get him without giving up a whole lot. Like giving up, you know, maybe a couple draft picks in the future. I would frankly be for it. Because as much as I like the idea of maybe next year getting DeAndre Ayton in the draft, I mean, we are going to have to suck again to get him.
We might suck.
And we probably will suck, but I feel like we're not going to suck that bad.
We don't have to suck again. Miami just has to suck.
Is next year we get theirs next year? No.
Yeah.
The year after.
2018 draft.
We get theirs. I thought it was 2019.
Shit. Did they have to give up their pick this year?
I have no idea.
All right, you keep talking. I'll look up.
I'm done.
Okay. Thanks.
See, like how I do that? Like, I tell you to do it. You're like, okay, I'll keep talking. I'm like, nope, I'm done. No, I'm just saying that, you know, if we could somehow squeeze our way into, I feel like we've been all over the board. Everybody's going to be like, the comments would be like, what the hell were you guys talking about? All we know is that we didn't get Lonzo Ball, but he went to the Lakers. But then he didn't go to the Lakers. Then we ended up getting Josh Jackson, but not. And instead we got maybe Jonathan Isaac, but then we got De'Aaron Fox and then somehow traded to get Zach Collins. What just happened? Exactly. We're here to
put your minds into
pretzels. So anyway, but.
Anywho.
It's just a thought.
Just a thought.
And maybe we should perhaps sit down and think more precisely about how perhaps this Suns draft might play out. It's going to be 3 weeks from right now. We will know.
Yeah.
We will know what's going to happen. And I think ultimately we're going to have an opportunity to get Josh Jackson. Whether we actually take him or not is a different question. I mean, McDonough, who knows? I trust the guy. I mean, that's the one thing. Let's think. We haven't talked about that.
What?
We can trust McDonough with this draft.
Yeah, like he's good at the draft.
He's done great.
Except for Alex Len.
And even but Alex Len, that was like, woof. Dude.
Woof.
Yeah.
Woof.
It's like, woof, okay. Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Granted,
like,
he passed up on Noel, who...
Well, Noel got traded. I mean, it's not like he's been like the key to the defense in Philly. It was a horrible draft, but he found Booker, he found Warren, he found your favorite player.
Tyler Ulis.
And outside
I just
of...
like tiny guys who can dribble the shit out of
them. That's weird, but okay. But outside of the whole Len thing,
I give him a mulligan on it. He had the job for 3 weeks before I had to take it.
That's a fair point. And it was a shit draft. I'm sorry. It was. So we as Suns fans have to sit back and go, you know what, Ryan McDonough?
You do you.
Do your thing. And I don't think that McDonough has to do anything crazy to keep his job. I really don't.
I hope not. I think he.
I think Sarver's learned his lesson.
I think he deserves an extension. I hate that Sarver has that policy where he doesn't give extensions before the contract has ended.
I love it.
Okay.
Love it.
Love it.
Love it.
Because it makes everything guys reckless. Sarver does.
No, it doesn't. It teaches you whether those guys are responsible or not.
Okay.
That's it. So, all right. Anyway.
I'm going to throw something at you that I saw on Twitter today, and I want to get your honest reaction.
You have 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay. This is a trade.
Stop looking at me weird.
Proposed by a Sixers blog. For a trade between the Sixers and the Suns. The Sixers trade Jahlil Okafor and TJ McConnell. 4, Dragon Bender and Eric Bledsoe. Justin, go.
You just pronounced his name Dragon Bender. I'm just going to say.
Dragon?
Dragon.
I've had a couple beers.
Wait, no, what? Are you fucking kidding me? Excuse me. Oh, I'm the one that never cusses on this. You always cuss, and I just did. No, that's insane.
I know it is.
I love TJ McConnell. But no!
Exactly.
Okay, that took way less than 2 minutes, so we're good.
Yeah.
Hey, go on that Sixers blog right now and be like, however you type that, do it, because that's insane.
That's what GIFs are for.
Do we get 74 first-round draft picks?
Yeah.
Still no.
No, actually, we get no draft picks.
Oh, well then, even, no, definitely no.
Like, apparently, their description of the trade, Okafor is the chip. Okafor is...
the guy who can't see the court in Philadelphia.
Bender's better than Okafor.
Like
they're like... their justification was the Suns are out on Bledsoe. And I'm like, no, I still like Bledsoe as a player. I just... Suns if a better situation comes along...
Suns are out on Bledsoe.
I'm not out on Bledsoe. I'm just... open to options.
Okay.
And...
Paul...
Bender is not a bust.
I'm gonna go get banned from a blog, Sixers blog right now. You show it to me. Yes. Blog? Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah.
That is insane.
That's pretty much what the Twitter comments were.
And now I'm concerned. Maybe they will take Josh Jackson. If their fans are that delusional, then their front office has to be.
Well, no, actually what's funny is you start reading the feed and like the fans don't want to give up TJ McConnell.
Well, I would. That's okay. Like, he might be the more valuable piece in that trade for Philly.
Yeah,
because Domboy's been really bad since he's been there. McConnell's the man. I love him.
Well, you have a homer.
No, I'm a lover of fantastic basketball and a U of A fan. And TJ McConnell is a baller. An absolute baller.
I'm not saying he's not. Oh, and I double checked. We do get the 2018 Miami pick.
Without restrictions?
No restrictions.
Oh, yeah.
So we can be great this year. We see Miami to suck crap.
Go Eastern Conference. All right.
I don't want it to be career ending, but if Dragic and Whiteside get a season ending injury.
I think Dragic has been bad enough that injuries are unnecessary at this point. He has declined significantly since that trade.
He had a good season this past season. The previous season when he had to like defer to Wade, which just threw him out of his own game.
I feel like you're maybe giving him too much credit for this past season.
I don't know. They almost made the playoffs this year when they were expected to be crap.
Yeah. Thanks, Hassan Whiteside. Actually, no, I have a friend who put some money on individual performance by Dragic. Maybe he wasn't that bad. At any rate, we should wrap it up.
Nah, let's keep going. Marathon it.
We got like 3 hours left. Let's do this.
See how much memory you have on your hard drive. We're going to go until it says no more. You get an error.
That might not take too long after this thing's old. So, okay. No, Paul. No. We're done. Any last thoughts? You have 30 seconds.
I'm looking forward to somehow being disappointed at the lottery or at the draft.
You know what, Paul? I hate that attitude. You know what? We're going to get who we want, and the Suns are still... year have I said, Paul? 2019 title. Book it.
Actually, let me retract that statement. I'm looking forward to Suns fans... being disappointed, but they should not be. This is a very strong draft.
That's quintessential of Suns.
Suns are just disappointed because we dropped. And there's still a lot of really, really, really good players in this draft that will be able to produce for this team in some fashion.
And Markel Fultz is going to be a bust. We already established that.
Yes, no matter who we draft, we'll probably get a quality player. So... we'll just project onto him the fact that we dropped and we'll be bummed unless we get Josh Jackson.
I didn't realize you were so high on Josh Jackson. I thought you hated him.
I hate him with the passion of a million burning suns.
Wait, you hate Josh Jackson?
You didn't understand this from the whole last podcast? Yeah, I hate him. He sucks.
I'm so confused. Are you serious?
No.
What the? What are you doing? What are you talking about?
Making you confused. It's been a while.
Although you were out of practice. You don't understand my sarcasm. Your love for Josh Jackson concerns me a little bit now, actually. So, but at any rate, we should do this again before the draft, right?
Yeah, once some of the workouts start to happen, yeah.
So
2 weeks?
2 weeks, yeah. That's a good idea.
Get
CPA in the group. All right. So
give some time to get some workouts under the belt so we can hear some stuff.
Exactly. About, like, who's coming exactly. Through. And everyone could be like, wait a minute, Josh Jackson's actually a really good shooter, Adam Spinella. That's right. I said it.
Maybe we should bring him on.
We should bring him on. Spinella, you're coming on. All right. Until next time. As always, you can catch me on Twitter at So Says Jay and Paul.
At Dervish of Whirl.
At Dervish of Whirl. And until you all hear our voices again, which will be in 2 weeks.
Hopefully.
Perhaps. We promise nothing. Depending on when you're listening, have a good morning, good afternoon.
We overpromise and underperform.
We do that. Good evening.
You're killing me, Smalls.